Welcome back to Financial Spectrum. I'm Bill Kearney. For the balance for time today, we're going to be talking about the psychology of trading, methodology that's based on understanding the psychology of the markets and how you can be much more effective at trading if you're a trader. Now, we've talked about this countless times in the program before, this difference between investors and traders. And certainly my guest, Dr. Gary Dayton, will be able to help clarify this once again as we've talked to others about the concept. But it's been a long time since we've had somebody come on the program and talk about trading. Back in the 90s, we had a lot of guests coming on trying to help people become better traders. And that was when in the dot-com boom times where the market was going up in excess of 20% a year, you could just throw a dart into the board and find a stock that was going to go up. And people were asking for anything that had .com in the name, and they knew they would or thought they would make a fortune. Of course, all bets were off by March of 2000, and then it was exacerbated by the recession that happened in late 2001, early 2002. And we went through the financial crisis, and a lot of traders were washed out in the financial crisis, and many of them recognizing, I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't know what I was doing. The whole system is rigged against me. I should never be involved in the stock market at all, and have sworn off stocks, which is ridiculous. And long-term seasoned investors understand that if you're investing in stocks for the long haul, to coin a Jeremy Siegel phrase from his first book, then between long-term growth and dividends, you can get a very, very nice return on your money, probably more dependable than a lot of other sources. But that doesn't address the concept of trading and the liquidity of the markets is in many ways driven by and dependent on traders, the people who are in and out either on an intraday or daily basis trying to find where the best bargains and trends are. So joining me now is Dr. Gary Dayton. He's the author of Trade Mindfully, Achieve Your Optimum Trading Performance with Mindfulness and Cutting-Edge Psychology. Hi, Gary.
Bill, hi. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I appreciate you joining us today. I presume now, and you're calling us from Connecticut, and I presume that on this long, nasty storm that we're experiencing here, it's probably not quite as bad in Connecticut. Have you been able to go into the office, or do you operate from the home?
I'll operate out of my home office. So my commute is about 10 or 12 steps from my bedroom downstairs.
Okay, that's nice. We hear that more and more from guests on the program these days. It's a big transition the business world is going through in that regard. But thanks for joining us. This is a fascinating topic, and I think for most of the people that listen to the program and that are participating in the stock markets, many people are still confused about whether they should bother trying to trade or how effective they might be at trading because of this perception that it's really just another form of Foxwoods or Atlantic City. It's something where the house is rigged it against them, and the more they participate in it, the worse they're going to do. Would you agree or disagree with that perception?
Well, I think that the larger operators in the market, the institutional players and the very, very large traders that are well capitalized, always have an advantage because okay. they can hold their positions through the various ups and downs of the market.
Yeah.
But when it comes to trading, day trading, which is actually what I do, the mental side of it is very similar for both longer-term investors and for individual active traders who are operating day-to-day in the market. The technical patterns are basically the same as well. Obviously, on an intraday basis, the market is going to unfold much quicker than it will unfold on a weekly or a monthly basis.
Sure.
But the same kinds of patterns, bull flags, bear flags, double tops and bottoms, those kinds of technical things that have withstood the test of time are essentially the same.
When you say stood the test of time, aren't there waves in sort of trading and market history of where people adhere to certain philosophies when they look at the charts and try to identify trends? Where sort of like the herd mentality, if everybody's using one particular technique, then the likelihood is that technique's ability to predict begins to break down, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. If everybody's using a MACD, for example, or an RSI, smarter traders will figure that out and start to fade those signals.
Mm-hmm.
What I found to be most helpful in my trading was to go back to some of the original thinkers of trading and investing in the market, people like Schaubacher and Richard Wyckoff in particular. Mm-hmm. Now, Wyckoff wrote his first book in 1910, and in fact, it was about day trading stocks of his day. And then he wrote a course, actually two courses. He expanded on his 1910 book and then wrote a book for intermediate trend trading in the 1930s. And those, that work, that body of work, emphasizes being able to read the market by its own actions, looking at the characteristics of the price on charts as well as volume, and being able to see the footprints, if you will, of the larger players who are going to dictate pretty much what happens in the market anyway.
It's did Wyckoff ever anticipate the level, the degree of liquidity that the market would have? Because back then, obviously, I mean, without going saying it, we know that they had no automation back then. There was nothing; computers weren't even on in anybody's imagination back then. And yet, when you're talking about a day trader, the ability to process trades back then must have been really challenging if somebody's in and out over the course of a day or a week. And back then, it was of course, T plus five in terms of the settlement on trade because they couldn't process it any faster. Now, people can do things in a fraction of a second.
Right. It's one of the challenges of trading is that you can hit the button and buy and sell instantaneously.
Yeah.
What Wyckoff did was, in his day, you're right, there were no computers. He hand-did all of his charts, and they had a data feed through a ticker tape, paper tape that was about 1 inch in size and would have the actual orders. That was the order flow, if you will, at that point. But he was able to take those and transcribe that onto the types of charts that he actually came up with specifically for day trading and was able to be very effective at it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. How effective was he? How successful was he in that? Did he actually build wealth, or was it something that sort of ebbed and flowed based on the overall direction of the market?
Yeah, I've never been able to look at his bank accounts, but he did certainly have a house on the Hamptons. He lived in Lower Manhattan. From all accounts, he also got into one heck of a divorce proceeding with one of his wives that was splashed all over the newspapers. So he was able to build considerable wealth from this method.
Now, so coming back to this concept of you've already referred to technical analysis in several different ways. We've talked about whether, you know, there's methods, and you've referred to some of the technicians and traders would understand the concept of MACD and RSI, you know, relative strength and those kind of things. Do you change methodologies from time to time? Do you shift in terms of what kind of charts you adhere to or turn to first?
Well, I used to, and I found that was just, and I think every trader has to do this. You have to look at different methodologies to see what fits you best.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that it's a personality thing where we could say, okay, you have this cluster of personality characteristics, therefore you should be trading this kind of methodology. We're not that sophisticated at this point, but I think what feels comfortable for you is what you want to stick with. Once you find that, that's the time to stop switching methodologies. Now you want to stick with what you are comfortable with
and get very good at
it. Learn every possible nuance in every possible market condition.
Sure.
So that you can trade it well.
Yeah. Now, getting apart from the charts, or maybe we don't get away from the charts, to what extent is market psychology something that has to be learned and bought? In other words, you know, for a lot of, we've talked about this in the program, and certainly most of the media refers to market psychology from, you know, on a regular basis, and you want to sort of try to be somewhat counterintuitive. You want to try to be a little bit contrarian, but how much so and when to pull the trigger seems to be very difficult to discern. And some people are just naturally good at it. They've got a sixth sense about that. They're intuitive, and others have been fighting those kind of trends and eventually just surrender and say, I can't figure it out.
Right. I don't believe there's any intuitive force that you know, a native talent that allows some people to be traders and other people not to be traders.
Okay.
In fact, in over 45 years of psychology, into the question of what makes experts so expert, it's not about IQ, it's not about socioeconomic upbringing or status, it's not about innate talents. What it's all about is what we call deliberate practice or deep practice.
Okay.
And it's being active in the markets, it's studying your charts, it's actually putting yourself on the edge of your abilities. And it doesn't matter if you're a trader or a musician or a dart thrower. Putting yourself out on the very edge of your abilities, failing, learning from those failures, failing again, learning again from those failures, and kind of repeating that process, hopefully with a good coach and good support.
Yeah.
And that's the way you build expertise and competence in any field, and trading is no different.
Now, in the book, you refer to the concept of mindfulness over and over again. It seems to be critical in your methodology. And you refer to mental blind spots. What do these things mean? You know, obviously there's a training involved, an intellectual training that you're referring to. How does somebody go about this, and what can we expect?
Absolutely. Mental blind spots. Well, all traders and investors know that emotions cause difficulties in their trading.
Yep.
But few understand that our normal way of problem solving can also get us into deep trouble. Let me give you an example, an everyday example, and then I'll bring it into trading.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we're traveling somewhere up there in northern New England in an unfamiliar town. It's 6 o'clock. We're hungry. We need to find a restaurant. We see one, and we pull into the parking lot. We look at the building. It looks attractive. We see a couple of people coming out the door. They seem to be happy. They're smiling and talking. And we say, this looks like a good restaurant. Let's eat here. So we make that decision. Notice how we made the decision. It's based solely on appearance. We didn't interview the patrons and say, ask them, is this a good spot to eat? Or we didn't sample the food to see if it was to our liking. We based it strictly on appearance. Now, let's bring this into trading. A trader sees a bull flag, which is a continuation pattern in an uptrend. They say, that's a bullish pattern. I'm going long. And so they initiate a trade. But what if that bull flag is at the top of a rally? What if we're already overbought in this trend? Or there's higher time frame resistance that's going to exert its pressure on the market? That bull flag could be the start of selling and distribution, not a continuation of the trend. And that will create a loss. Basically, what we're doing is substituting a very easy question. Does this pattern look like a bull flag? Or does this chart look like a bull flag pattern, rather?
Mm-hmm.
And we're answering that. But the harder question really is never asked or addressed. And the harder question is, what's the likely next move of the market going to be? And the irony is, we don't even realize this, that we're making these kinds of poor decisions. So we need to be aware of our mental blind spots.
Okay.
So we don't get blindsided by them.
And what disciplines does somebody have to put in their life, their trading life or their personal life, in order to open their mind up and understand better what their mental blind spots look like?
Well, I think mindfulness really helps in this regard. And your listeners may have heard of mindfulness. It's a pretty hot topic these days, and rightfully so. Lots and lots of good science is coming out on it. And it's not just for trading, by the way. It's great in life, just general life as well. But mindfulness for trading is a skill, a mental skill that helps us maintain presence with the market without being distracted by mental chatter, without being distracted by our emotions, even strong ones. And therefore, mindfulness allows the trader or the investor to do what matters for their trade and act appropriately. It creates a stable and calm mind, very, very similar with practice, very similar to what athletes say being in the zone is like.
Okay, yeah.
And just about every aspect of trading can be strengthened from mindfulness. Our attention and concentration improve so we can see the market more clearly. It's a big reducer of stress. That's a major feature of mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
It increases our mental flexibility and agility. We can switch strategies as the market changes, which lots of traders have trouble with.
Yeah.
We can even be more resilient after a loss by practicing mindfulness. So as I say in the book and as I say here, I really believe it's the most important mental skill that a trader or investor can develop and possess.
Don't have a lot of time to fully unpack that deeper, but the concept of mindfulness, to what extent is it understanding better what your own emotional tendencies tend to be? For instance, for a lot of people, when they finally make a commitment to a stock, there's a certain wishfulness, a hope that that stock will work out, or you know, whether it's currency, stocks, bonds, whatever they're trading, and there's a reluctance to admit to themselves they were wrong, pull the trigger, get out, and do something differently the next time. To what extent is it a matter of understanding better how much they're likely to sort of marry themselves to the concept and their decision?
Yeah, you're talking about our emotional tendencies, and really what you're talking about is emotional intelligence. And that is tremendously promoted by and supported by mindfulness. Emotional intelligence is every bit of an intelligence as is IQ. In its basic form, it's understanding your emotions and understanding the impact that they can have on your decision making, both from a positive side and also from a not so positive side.
Yeah.
When we get into wishful thinking and hoping that a stock is going to go, to the moon or further, it's a moment where if we're mindful, if we've practiced mindfulness and we understand that those kinds of thoughts and feelings, those kinds of feelings of hope, can drive our actions,
mm-hmm.
we're going to step back, we're going to pause a little bit and say, is this really the right thing that we want to, is this action really the right action we want to do? Do we really want to hold on to this? Or am I seeing something in the charts or reading something in the fundamentals that is suggesting I ought to get out of this trade? And mindfulness is the number one thing that's going to help us be able to do that.
Folks, we've been profiling a new book, Trade Mindfully, Achieve Your Optimum Trading Performance with Mindfulness and Cutting Edge Psychology. For a lot of people, they think that all they didn't do is subscribe to the right website, get the right charts, and they can do things. But that doesn't necessarily discipline their mind to being able to make the right decisions. And that's what the book is all about. And we've been chatting with Dr. Gary Dayton, who's the author of the book. And Gary, your website for learning more about what you do is tradingpsychologyedge.com. Is that correct?
That's correct, Bill. TradingPsychologyEdge.com.
Yep. TradingPsychologyEdge.com. So appreciate you joining us today. Thank you for your time. Congratulations on the book. It's wonderful. And for traders or anybody even considering trading, it's a critical mindset.
Thanks for having me, Bill. It's been a real pleasure. And thanks to your listeners, too.
Thanks, Gary. Take care. Listeners, stick around for Bloomberg Radio coming at the top of the hour. I'm Bill Kearney. This has been Financial Spectrum.